This week on Clever Antidote, conspiracy theories, Justin Bieber baby daddy, and still, fuck Bono. Fuck him up, his stupid ass.
Welcome to Clever Antidote, episode 5.
Cue the music.
Oh, we're not clever at all, no.
You know what? I think that was just God fun.
Doesn't really ask people to call.
Fine. When you talk about that Honda robot that they built, the West Bank's kind of cheap.
Oh my God. Look at her butt.
Look at her butt. It's just so big and round. Out there.
Everyone
I
likes
like
cats.
Big butts and I cannot lie.
You others can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. You gotta pull up the tux, you know that butt was stuck. Look at them jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I wanna get with ya and take your picture. Homeboys tried to warn me, but that butt you got me.
You're so horny.
Ooh, rumple smooth skin. You say you want to get in my bins? Well, use me, because you ain't the average groupie.
Hell
I'm tired
with
of
romance.
Dancing. Hell with romance and sweat. Wet. Got me going like a turbo vet.
Baby, I want to
get with
ya
and take your picture.
That's totally going to be this week's intro. All right. How's your guys' week been?
I've
been cold.
Cold?
Yeah.
Definitely cold.
Snowing out there now, eh?
Oh, yeah, eh?
Oh, there's going to be snow all over the place.
I've got to stack up on 2-4s, eh?
Oh, yeah.
I won't be able to get to the liquor store. No.
I have to go put some weight in the back of my 4x4 truck, eh?
Oh.
Kind of slipping
I'm
in.
Going to have to break out my roof shovel.
Yeah.
Shovel all the snow off my roof, eh?
I bought a new toque, eh?
Oh.
I have a terrible accent. It goes from Canadian accent
to Mennonite
to kind of Aboriginal, and then goes full circle back to Irish.
Hey, boy, going out to go get a 2-4. I'm tired as hell today. I was working night shift all week, and then I switched on to weekend shift, but it was a weekend night shift. So I had 7 days straight of nights, and the last 2 days were 12-hour shifts. And so far today, after my shift, I had a 2-hour nap in the afternoon. And now I'm here, so I am freaking tired.
That's why coffee exists, right?
I know, but my coffee's out.
We
it's
need
all gone.
A coffee maker in here.
There's a coffee maker in the break room, just down the hall.
Let's do it up.
Yeah.
Next time, we're bringing grounds. How many hours is that you put in the last 7 days?
I did... What would that be? Well, 12 hours, that's 24, plus my 40, so 64.
64 hours.
And then this next week, I'm pulling a crap load overtime. I'm working during the week, full eight-hour days,
yeah.
And then my weekend shift. So I'm going to be pushing probably about 65 to 70 hours. Because I'm not working tomorrow. Doing the 7 days a night shift really has me burnt out. So luckily... Tomorrow is just overtime that I volunteered for, so I'm just going to call in and say, like, I'm burnt out. I'll be in the next day.
Christmas money.
So.
How about you, Jarrett? How was your week?
Let's see. It was pretty decent. I'm over my cold, which is good. But work slowed down for me quite a bit. I was sent home the one night because there was nothing to do.
You're done painting the floors?
Yes, we're done painting the floors. I noticed that they were giving the forklifts all new paint jobs.
Really?
Yeah. And
do they do at least like a flame job or pinstriping?
No.
That sucks.
I would have done skulls and crossbones.
Call it
Reaper. No. You got to paint it gray and put like make it into an elephant.
No, green. A Master Chief forklift. Huh? Huh? Yeah.
Forklifts are sweet.
Yeah, never drove one. I've driven a Bobcat before, like the one with the little
yeah,
one with
Bobcat.
The yeah.
I don't understand.
I could do that for a living. I love driving shit around. As
Let's
long
see,
as it's
Bobcat,
not...
you have like two levers, right, for steering?
Yeah.
But then
two pedals to control the bucket, I think.
You would get so obsessed and so attached to being, like, carting around in a little, you know, track steer.
Yeah.
You'd get one custom made just to roll around town in. Yeah, like one that isn't a bobcat, see, just a machine. You'd roll up all like...
See, why I brought up the controls is, see, you could use that for training for becoming a tank operator.
Ooh. If I ever win the lottery, I plan on buying a retired tank from a military graveyard.
Didn't Xavier have like a hover thing that he...
He had a hover chair.
Yeah, yeah. A hover chair. Derek could have, like, it wouldn't be a hover chair, because we just can't do that yet, but... Or, well, we can.
I'm sure we could.
That's another podcast. But, yeah, Derek would have a sweet cart.
What's another podcast?
Hovercrafts and things.
Really? There's things a podcast?
That, no, I mean, we can do a show on, like, sweet technology, like, things that actually hover, not like a hovercraft like we use with the... inflatable, you know,
anti-grav body. Hovercrafts.
Not even anti-grav, but just there's been hovercrafts made with like multiple jet turbines and even just propellers, compressed air, different things like that. But I'd be,
is that really a hovercraft or is it a VTOL?
I don't know. That's kind of a, like, it does hover because it's elevated off the ground. It's not supported by anything touching the ground, and it does stay stationary at a certain elevation.
The amount of energy.
Then a Harrier jet is a hovercraft.
I would say it has, well, it has hover capabilities.
Then a helicopter is a hovercraft too, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think a fine line.
In my mind, what a hovercraft would be is something that levitates over the ground. And the only way I think that we'd actually be able, like, you'd have to do with something with magnetism, I think, to have something that...
like the bullet trains.
Yeah, but that's not, like, that's not a lot of hover. It's like nothing. It's like a couple centimeters. Whatever. We're not technology.
Or if you could, if they came out with the technology that could, in a focused area, affect the density of the atmosphere, where directly underneath your craft, if it could make the air underneath or the atmosphere really, really dense, so you would sit on it. It'd be so dense that it would be able to support it.
Like you're basically,
it would almost make it like solid ground, like but it's
Luke,
still...
Like Luke's...
What you're describing there is exactly like the technology we already have. What do you think thrust is from jets?
No, but something that...
I don't know. That it's different.
You're being That's difficult, different. Jared. I'm talking about...
That's what I'm here for.
What I'm talking about would essentially create a pillow of hard or really, really packed, dense atmosphere.
Just get Derek to ingest it.
That'd be a 10.
I don't follow you.
Eat the atmosphere. It was a bit of a stretch, but I saw where you were going with that. I applaud you.
A nice hard brick of Derek air.
No, but like a land speeder on fucking Star Wars A New Hope.
Yeah, it just kind of sits there.
Yeah. So what I want.
I mean, in real life, it was just, you know, on a boom, you know, suspended on a boom.
Do you know they to cover wheels for special effect back in the 70s, they smeared Vaseline on the fucking camera lens to make it.
Yeah, it looked like
because on the
heat displacement with
Well, they did that to cover the wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You do what you got to do. That's kind of to think you got to do like that simple, and it worked.
Yeah, Vaseline has so many uses.
Yep. Well, since you guys are going to ask, my week was okay, although I wasn't feeling that great.
You know what?
The other
I wasn't
day.
Going to ask.
Neither was I.
I slept like 14 hours straight on Tuesday night, I think it was.
How do you even do that?
I was sick.
Oh okay, that makes sense. Were you on Buckley's or anything like that? I know when I'm sick,
Derek was robo-tripping.
You know, I used to do the whole, you know, that nasty face when you have Buckley's because, oh, it's so gross.
Yeah.
Doesn't faze me a bit.
Yeah.
I drink that stuff like it's freaking liquid candy.
The trick is to pour it down your throat and not let it hit your tongue.
See, I don't mind if it hits the back of my tongue, but I do pour it right to the back of my throat so I can quickly swallow it. I mean, I don't want it plastered all over my mouth, but it doesn't faze me anymore.
I think Buckley's is only for children, though. Now that we're... old enough, we can just drink whiskey.
That's
the
very
same
true.
Thing.
Yep.
That's very true.
Yeah.
When I'm sick, I like to do usually just scotch or whiskey.
Yeah.
Not a good scotch, but just like kind of your basic Johnny Walker Red Label is what I would usually have.
And I do a couple shots of that, and then I hop in a frickin' hot shower, start to sweat, and start to feel a little bit tipsy, and then I quickly towel off and hop in bed. And usually by the next morning, I'm feeling way better.
This has been Health Corner from Clever Antidotes. Alcohol makes everything better.
Yeah, doctor recommended.
Yeah,
the stronger the better.
That's been my
Party week. 151. That's the cure-all. It'll cure cancer.
You're going to interrupt me again?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Okay, so that's it? You were sick?
151.
Yeah, that's basically my week. I worked a couple hours overtime. We went to Comic-Con on last Sunday.
Yes.
But we'll touch on that later. It was awesome, but the smell was awful. All right. News, though, unless you guys have something else to talk about.
You know what? I think before hopping onto that stuff...
I'm jumping the gun.
Hmm?
I said, I'm jumping the gun.
You are jumping the gun. Want to remind you guys that Clever Antidote is brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, B&D Music in Morden, Manitoba. And you can find them online at bdmusic.ca. And they do musical instruments. They don't do musical. I'm doing a musical instrument.
Get the Vaseline
out.
Yeah.
They sell musical instruments. They do music lessons. They have a whole bunch of qualified instructors, anything from drums to violin, piano, guitar, electric or acoustic. And they sell sound equipment. Lots of great stuff. Great group of guys. So go check them out online. And if you're in our area, come to the store, check them out, and make sure you let them know who sent you.
We'd like to thank Tyler Tilly for our wonderful musical intro.
And outro.
Not the wonderful, wonderful cover of
Baby Got Back.
Baby Got Back. That was me and Jarrett. But the good song. That was Tyler.
Oh, I think that was better than the original, actually.
I thought so. Maybe, White trash version? That's perfect.
You can look up his musical.
Get a little banjo going in the background.
Oh, I have a banjo sitting at home.
Yeah, yeah. And I know exactly how we could film the music video for that, too. Skinny trailer trash guys and then their wives.
Oh, yes.
That's a double-wide wife to go along with the double-wide trailer.
But you can check out Tyler's musical stylings at Ultros Tilly on YouTube.
We have a bunch of social media junk for you. cleverantidote.blogspot.com. Check us out there. Leave us some comments. We got our Twitter, at Clever Antidote, and also our Facebook page, which is just Clever Antidote on Facebook.
Did you say anything about or the blog? You said Facebook and Twitter. Did you say blog?
I did say blog.
I need more coffee.
I know.
I just wanted to go back to the whole Vaseline thing real quick. You guys
you would.
Well, no. Sometimes
do you have
when I'm
some
at,
on you?
No, I don't. But sometimes
you always have some on him.
Sometimes when I'm at people's houses, I kind of like to look in their drug cabinet.
And everyone does that.
Yeah, and you know what? And you know what?
I don't
do
that.
You have to check the Vaseline case because you can tell a lot about people by their Vaseline. Like, if there's, like, two great big finger gouges out of that Vaseline, you know there's something freaky going on.
That's not true.
Or it just has a hole in it. There's no finger marks. It just has a hole.
A tub of Vaseline at my house lasts, like, a decade. Like, I kid you not.
Yeah, that's why it's so weird if you were to see, like, a huge...
Yeah.
What the hell?
I really don't like using that stuff. It's impossible to wash off. It is.
What do you use it on?
It's the scrubbing it off. That's the fun part.
Fuck it. Fuck you too.
Oh.
When one man is all alone.
One man alone with himself.
Oh. That is so
only
good.
One goal.
That's all right. I have an archive. I have like... No, I have a flash.
That's why you always download the best stuff you come across.
No. Definitely. I'm going to start downloading stuff. One day the internet may be knocked out. And I want to know, in a world gone mad, full of zombies, and there's no woman around to satisfy my needs, I can boot up my computer, plug in a flash drive, and watch some porn.
Some people stock, you know, non-perishable foods and toilet paper for the apocalypse. Derek stashes porn.
No, yeah, no. But how big is a flash drive? We should create a zombie apocalypse survival pack, just in a duffel bag, the basic things that you will need.
Crowbar, and, shotgun.
And we should sell them.
I already have mine sitting in my
Well,
that would
be a prototype.
I have mine with me. It's my mind. Oh, yeah. My fist.
One thing that is in my survival pack that is absolutely necessary.
I love that you actually have a survival pack.
It is. I have a percolator. Gotta have your coffee.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not going to be able to face the apocalypse without your morning cup of coffee. Yeah. Preferably Tim Hortons brand. Yeah.
But seriously, the world gone to shit. Zombie.
Don't say that. Tim Hortons sucks.
Shut your horse
I just
mouth.
Polished off a cup because it's, you know, it's what was there, but...
You could have went to McDonald's.
You could have home-brewed some coffee for us instead of picking up Tim Hortons if you
I couldn't have because I'm out right now. B, when you're paying like $17 to $25 for half a pound of coffee, you kind of hold it near and dear.
Oh. Okay, less on coffee and you have more money for your cold remedy. And you'll be happier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get dirty looks from everyone in society, you know, walking around with a cup of coffee. You know, versus walking around with a, you know, brown bag special.
See this right here? This is the Tim Hortons cup. Does hold coffee.
I could
but
just
it
pour
can
the
hold
liquor
other things.
Into the... Yeah. Oh, and yeah. They never know.
But once you're...
They just think I'm a homeless guy
Irish
stumbling
are,
around.
The Irish are geniuses. Irish coffee.
Oh, I love Irish coffee. Like Bailey's?
It's almost a little too sweet for me. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I love fucking Bailey's or, you know, that kind of liqueur. But... I reach a point that I can't have anymore. No,
well, real Irish coffee is your cup of coffee with whiskey in it.
Yeah.
You know what I drink whiskey with?
Whiskey.
I mix my whiskey with a little whiskey. More whiskey.
Your what? Your
We're not making whiskey. Any progress. back to the zombie. You guys may need survival packs, but a zombie walks into this room, I can kill him several ways before you guys even realize.
What if he's a supernatural zombie with super strength?
It's good that I'm a supernatural badass.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, carrying on.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. we're spinning our tires.
So now we're going to do a couple of would you rathers. I think we got some good ones here. I think the first one we'll do is different ways to die. I was watching 1,000 Ways to Die the other day, and I saw a couple of good ones. So, would you rather die from a water enema, like jumping off a cliff into a lake, and you hit it just the right angle, and you bust your intestines and you bleed out? Or would you rather be fishing and yank the rod back way too hard, the fish will fly into your mouth and choke you to death?
And these are both ones that have happened?
These have both happened in real life.
Okay, so these are, as ridiculous as they sound, they are realistic. They have happened.
They have happened, yes.
Oh, man. They're both horrible. I don't know. You know, I think for myself, I would almost go with the jumping off a cliff and getting the water enema. Because with that intense pain and damage, your body would go into shock. And... You know, it might take a little while for you to bleed out, but you'd at least be in shock and you wouldn't feel it quite as much. Whereas choking on a fish, A, you don't know how long that's going to take. B, it's absolutely awful while you got this fish writhing in your throat and you're trying to get it out and suffocating. I don't know. I think that getting the water enema off a cliff would probably be the quickest. I'm going to go with, water enema.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't fish and I don't jump, so it's hard for me. Because, let's face it, if the fish went and tried choking me, I'd probably just end up swallowing it. I'd be fine. And jumping off of a cliff, it's not a Derek thing to do. Unless I was trying to fly.
What if there were super fast, the fast zombies were chasing you, and you had to get away, and the only way, they cornered you onto a cliff, and you had to jump off a cliff into a body of water.
Either way, we're not asking, would you jump off the cliff? It's which way would you prefer dying?
I'd have to go with Chris, the jumping off the cliff.
Yeah.
But you have to think, you know all those people that jump off of, like, the bridge, Golden Gate Bridge to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them die from water enemas like that?
That from that bridge, they don't. It's so high up when they hit the water, it's like hitting concrete.
Nice.
Yeah.
Even though
it doesn't make for a lot of variety, I'd have to agree with both of you.
Okay, but Derek, why? What's your opposition to the fish, though?
The fish? I don't like fish.
I don't know. Especially a fish that's out to kill you.
No, it'd just be a smelly way to die. That and if, like, the scales would obviously dig into your throat. And I'm sure I could yank it out. Like, if I have to die, I'd rather he jumped off of something that was just a little too high than, somehow he choked on a fish. Like, how do you explain that to my mom when I'm dead? It's like, we're surprised that your son made it this long without dying because of his health. But it was because he was fishing and he somehow the live fish and got into his throat. I guess he was just that hungry.
Like, what if the fish was, like, as far as trying to pull it out, what if the fish was like a perch where they have the really hard spines in their dorsal fin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to this woman. It got caught because of the spines.
Oh, wow. Yeah, like that would... You'd never be able to get that out.
Yeah, well...
You would just have to go in.
Yeah, just gotta go in my stomach.
Just, hop! Done.
Yeah, but... Watching House, I think if something like that ever happens to me, I'm just gonna take a pen and shove it into my trachea, make trach myself.
That's a good point. She could have saved herself by doing that.
Yeah, but how many people have a pen with them when they're fucking fishing?
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, hypothetically, but none of us are doctors, so. No, but I have to say jumping off of something
and getting into water enema.
Yeah, and like Chris said, it would be painful, but the endorphins in our blood would, and I think the death would, probably both of them you'd die fairly quickly. Because one, you're suffocating, the other one, you're drowning and internal bleeding.
Yeah. Well, the one with the fish, you'd have that panic feeling, not being able to breathe, suffocating to death. That's pretty awful. The one with the water enema, you'd have really intense pain. But I get that every time I have Mexican food anyway. Yeah. So
you'd most likely pass out sooner from jumping off of something, too.
Yeah.
That was just a downer. Come on.
I'm sad now.
Who wants to think about dying? I'm going to go home, write in my journal, and cry, and cut myself. You made me that sad. I'm breaking out the tight jeans.
Okay, right. Well, then to bump things up a notch and get us back on an awesome topic, our second would you rather. Derek?
All right. My thought process was like, Brad Pitt basically chose between these two women. Jennifer Aniston and Angelina Jolie.
Angelina.
I have a very hard time pronouncing her name, but Angelina Jolie.
There we go.
Yay.
I did it right.
Slow clap.
Fuck you. Yeah, so who would you rather? If because back in 2005, Brad Pitt was with Jennifer Aniston and all of a sudden he dumps her and now he's with Angelina. So, yeah.
Well, personally, I'd say Angelina.
Oh, yeah? Why? Yeah. What did it for you? What movie?
What movie did it for me? Probably Lara Croft.
Lara Croft as Tomb Raider? Tomb Raider, yeah.
That's a tough one. I mean, thinking about Lara Croft, awesome. But just then thinking about how much I hate Angelina Jolie.
I'm not saying,
I guess you don't have to like her. You just have to bang her.
No, I said nothing about banging. I said if you were Brad Pitt and you had the choices between the two of them.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
let's say you're Brad Pitt. For some reason, you're zapped and you're Brad Pitt. And he doesn't exist, but now you are him. And you have to put up with this woman. Which one would you want to be with?
Hmm.
I stand firm.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. I think I would... Then, if I was Brad Pitt, I would choose Jen Aniston.
Yeah?
Yep.
Nice. Controversy.
Yeah.
Now,
my
thought process with Angelina is that she kept a capsule of blood with her from Billy Bob Thornton. She kissed her brother, not her half-brother. He was his full-fledged brother. It wasn't just like a kiss on the cheek. It was a open-mouth kiss on the lips, if I recall correctly.
Really?
Don't you remember that? I think that was like 02, 03.
Something about that. At that point, I didn't really care, so I didn't pay any attention.
And the only reason why she's famous is because her fucking dad. So, I don't know. I just don't like brats, and she seems like a brat.
See, but yeah, but like you said, her dad. Yeah. I mean, your in-law is John Voight. That's his name, isn't it?
I don't know.
He seems like a pretty kick-ass guy. Yeah. Hang out with him. But also, the main thing is, you know, with her adopting Africa and everything, you'd be living the life. You could have them do all your yard work.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I think, you know, if it's a matter of settling down, like, who are you going to stay with?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from a settling down perspective. Jennifer Aniston, kind of that wholesome girl next door kind of thing. You know, she doesn't have all... Well, she's got baggage, obviously, but she's not... I don't know. I don't really know how to put into words. It just, like Jared said, the adopting Africa and, you know, I don't know if I'd want to be dragged around the world for all this stuff that isn't my personal cause. And then at the same time, you know, being force-fed this massive adoptive family. I mean, there's nothing, I don't have anything against, you know, adopting kids and doing stuff for, you know, for charity and that sort of thing. But it just,
it seems
to me, from my perspective, it looks like Brad Pitt has been kind of force-fed this whole life, and now he's kind of trapped into it, and it's not really what he wants.
Yeah.
I mean...
It seems that that's the thing to do in Hollywood right now, is adopt an exotic baby, and they're like, you know, your designer bag, almost. Like, they're like, they're a fashion statement more than a family, it seems. And I don't, you know, like, I know it seems a little insensitive to say that, and that's not how I'm, like... For all I know, Angelina Jolie loves these kids, but it is ridiculous, and I think she's batshit crazy, and a person that's fucking crazy with that much money, that's just not a good combination.
Yeah.
I think she just has a better publicist to keep the crazy down than, like, Lindsay Lohan. Like,
maybe that's why she's out of the country all the time.
Yeah.
Just so she's away from that stuff.
I'd have to go with Jennifer Aniston, too.
Awesome.
Like, 5 years ago, you asked me the same question, it probably would have been different.
Yeah.
But she seems more sane. Jennifer Aniston, just the roles she plays in movies, she seems like she's stupid. Like, not a little more dull-witted.
Oh, okay.
But she's not as crazy.
I would agree with the whole, 5 years ago thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if, you know, back in... you know, Tomb Raider.
Yeah, era. Well, that like was with longer. That,
I mean, Angelina was just a bombshell. Like, she was really, really hot. And but you look at it now. As far Angelina Jolie had always had that really, you know, dark sexiness to her.
Yeah.
And you know, she just kind of, you look at her and it's just sexual.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston. Like I said, more of that wholesome sweetheart thing.
Yeah.
But you look at where their paths have brought them to now. I you know, Jennifer Aniston seems to have fared way better in that respect than...
Now, turning this around a little bit. Just for a one-night stand, I'd go with Angelina Jolie because she seems like a fucking sexual deviant.
Oh, yeah.
She seems... like, that's where that batshit crazy darker side comes into play. It's like, holy shit.
But what if she starts whipping out, like...
Like fucking strap-ons
and
shit.
Like leather straps and chains and whips and stuff.
Well, just make sure you have a safe word. And if not, I don't know, like, she's a small... Like, she's not a large person. I'm sure I could fight her off. Like, no! Get that away from me!
Or what if she's actually as good of a fighter as she has been in some of her movies? Yeah,
right. They do get the training.
They do.
If we're choreographed fights, it's more like dancing. It's not like she actually throws an actual punch that connects. Have you ever...
When they do the training, they do.
Yeah.
Bullshit. A connecting punch.
Because when you're learning to punch properly,
you learn precise, forceful connection. So you know exactly where to
stop
your force.
No, she's probably punched a punching bag, but punching somebody in the face, completely different than a punching bag.
Well, she actually looks so frail right now anyway, so she probably would.
I don't know, I haven't seen her in a long time.
Her entire arm would just shatter.
That's
probably why I chose Angelina. I haven't seen any of the new stuff.
You saw Salt. That was like a year or so ago.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did see that.
Chris is stepping out. He's going home.
The life of a married man. Got to go run home and turn our furnace back on.
That's a manly thing to do.
It is, because I'm the man of the house.
You should put a cigar in your mouth while you do it and pour yourself a scotch.
I may not make the rules, but I have the penis. So,
and you know how to use the furnace.
Exactly.
So
you're the one who fixes it.
If nothing else, if you don't get your way, you can threaten not to turn the furnace on.
pretty much. But then all of a sudden there's going to come a time where I'm like, hey, how you doing, baby?
Should've turned the furnace on.
And then she's going to be like, no, you don't do things for me. And then it's pretty much just a little, come here, boy. Come here, do this for me, you'll get a treat. okay. And then I'll turn the furnace back on. However, I could say that we'll just leave the furnace off. It's nice and cold, and then we'll do a little bit of warm-up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, but
meanwhile, his kids are freezing in the other room.
You know, Daddy, we're cold. Pay the hydro bill.
Get out, I'm not done.
If she turns you down, you can just say, where's the Vaseline?
Okay.
All right, we're gonna
is Chris Hildebrand signing off from Clever Antidote temporarily. Be right back.
Did you hear that? You and me, big guy.
All right, let's get the Vaseline.
You gotta quit it. I swear to God.
You know I'm joking, Jarrett.
Earlier today, he wanted me to sit on his lap.
That's because he was bitching that I wasn't letting him sit, that we were sitting in the truck while he was outside.
Okay, so. What's next?
I was thinking...
Ooh, Justin Bieber.
No.
No?
We're going to wait for that, for Chris, for the news. I want to talk about highest paid actors. Yeah. And these are movie actors.
Who's number one?
I think Leonardo DiCaprio... Fuck it. You know who I'm talking about. $77 million in the year 2011. Bullshit.
Ooh. What has he done in 11?
I think he has a movie about to come out.
Okay.
Last year was Inception. Or was that this year? Was that the start of the year?
You know what? Maybe that was the start of this year.
I don't remember. I'm sure part of that has to do... I don't know. Johnny Depp, obviously. Pirates, $50 million. What a bizarre-looking motherfucker. No, seriously. When he's Captain Jack, like, he looks completely different. When he's...
Oh, yeah.
When he's, like, just, you know, Johnny Depp, not Captain Jack.
He's got this whole, like... kind of hipster look going.
But he's pushing 50. And, like, I respect the facial hair, but the stupid... I don't know if they're sunglasses or actual glasses, but there's a tinge to them.
No, I don't... I like his glasses. The only problem I have with his look is his haircut.
Yeah.
The long hair, but cut at the ear level...
Yeah.
...is usually reserved for, like...
Autists
and maybe... Musicians. Maybe college douchebags.
Yeah. At least he's not rocking out a faux hawk at his age.
Yeah.
If he were an animal, though, like let's say you and I are sitting around coming up with spiritual animals for people. I'd say he's a rat.
A rat?
He looks like a fucking rat.
A ferret. A
ferret, yeah, that works. Ferret, huh? You know, a rodent of some sort. I'd say Leonardo DiCaprio, in this picture, he looks like a foreskin. He does. he looks like a fucking foreskin.
I don't really get what you're saying.
He looks like a penis. Just his face, it's all scrunched and shit. All right. Adam Sandler, $40 million.
Yeah.
I'd have to say a beaver or a woodchuck.
No. He's, well, maybe...
Not because
maybe a confused orangutan.
Yes! Perfect. Will Smith, which I don't even know if he was in a movie this year. $36 million. Now, what would you say is his animal?
Oh, in that picture?
He's so happy in this picture.
I know, he's so happy.
And this is from July 2010 to July 2011.
Oh, okay. So. No, I can't come up with one for him.
I'd say a stallion.
Stallion. Yeah. He's majestic.
He's majestic like a horse. Hey, man. In fucking I Am Legend, like, that guy, I don't understand how actors can be that fit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, he works out a lot. Okay, now, Tom Hanks. Now, not really an animal. Well, maybe an animal. I'm thinking, I can't do another monkey. But, you know, a marsupial of some sort taking a shit. His face is all scrunched up. He's looking like he's pushing one out.
So Tom Hanks just looks like he's in person taking a shit.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller. All right, back to Tom Hanks. $35 million a year. Yeah. Ben Stiller, $34 million a year. And I find Ben Stiller's movies, all he plays the same guy and it annoys the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Like, there is some movies that he's really good at, like Tropic Thunder. Love that movie. I could watch that movie over and over.
Still haven't seen it.
Bullshit.
Never seen it.
All right.
It's, man, like, how old now? A couple years?
I think it came out in 2008.
Like, so, yeah. Oh, fuck, yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. We're going to have a mandate and watch it.
Okay.
Get some brewskis.
Yeah.
Vaseline. Love
that.
What animal would you
say? No, you go. You take this.
I'd have to go with another rodent. He's very, I don't know, but he does have monkey ears.
Oh, yeah. And now, and the next one, Robert Downey Jr., in this picture, I'd say like a three-toed sloth.
Really?
Yeah. That's, he's got that kind of...
A sloth.
Yeah, he's got that kind of dopey look on this one. Like, yeah, he hasn't, like, he's sleepy.
He looks drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Wahlberg, $28 million.
Mm.
And back to, we're jumping ahead, Robert Downey, $31 million. Tim Allen, I don't even know if he was in a movie, but $32 million. And
Dodo Bird.
Dodo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah?
Extinct and not at all relevant anymore.
Hey, Tim Allen's funny sometimes. Tom Cruise. It's funny how little he ages. It is.
It is, yeah.
God, I hate him. He just looks like an ass.
That's what it is. He looks like a donkey.
A donkey?
No.
He doesn't, though.
We're just making shit up now.
He does look good for a guy his age.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, since he's a Scientologist, I'm going to say he looks like an alien. All right. Jim Carrey. Now, I don't think he's aged that well. He's made $20 million last year.
Yeah, well, you're not born with that stretchy of skin and age well.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Tom Cruise, $22 million, by the way.
Okay.
I was going to say his spiritual animal must be a penguin, because Mr. Popper's penguin would suck so much. Daniel Craig, James Bond, Alien, yeah. Cowboys and Aliens. This guy, I didn't know what I felt about him when I found out that this guy was going to be James Bond. And I was like, what a fucking prick. But, you know, he's pretty badass.
Mm-hmm. Especially rocking that stash.
Yeah, in this picture, he has, I'd say, a Tom Selleck-like mustache. No,
that is even better than Tom Selleck.
No, you can't get better. You shut your horse mouth. You can't get better than a Selleck mustache.
Look at that thing. It's even fuller than Selleck's.
Doubt it. There's no way we'd be able to measure. But he made $20 million this past year. Same as Jim Carrey, if I forgot to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we're terrible at this.
Yeah.
We should just stop.
No, one more.
No, we'll finish the list, and then we'll do TV actors.
Ooh, okay.
All right, but, you know, the mustache is kind of throwing me off. I want to say badger.
A badger?
Yeah, I don't know why. Okay. All right, Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, as far as
20 million.
Okay, as far as his totem animal, it could be any form of rodent or lower life form.
I'd have to say a lemming, because those are one of the few animals that fucking kill themselves, and he's all emo.
Yeah.
So, that, or I guess whales kill themselves, but he's not majestic enough to be a whale. Now, Brad Pitt, $20 million last year, and this guy's starting to age.
Yeah.
He's always rocking out his stupid beards. He just can't pull a beard well.
You know what? And you know what? You almost never compare people to reptiles, but a bearded dragon.
Like a Komodo dragon?
No, there's a lizard called a bearded dragon with a little thing coming off its chin.
Matt Damon, $18 million. I don't know what movie he's done this last year.
With that forehead of his, I'd have to say Neanderthal. You know, not technically an animal, but, you know.
I'm not trying to insult the guy. I actually like Matt Damon. I think his work's good.
Yeah, he just looks kind of funny. I like his work too.
Yeah. But. Well, you know, how there's, you know, all the plastic surgery in Hollywood, and I think a part of it, he looks good for his age, but part of why he looks a little funny is probably the plastic surgery.
Hmm. Not quite well done.
Yeah. So, now we found another site with the top paid actors from television, although it doesn't tell us how much each get paid. Number one is... you know this guy's name?
I don't remember his name. He's from Law & Order, SVU.
Christopher something. For some reason, the slideshow is blocking half of it, so...
Okay. Well, I'd have to say a tiger.
A tiger?
Look at his eyes.
Yeah.
He's on the prowl.
Yeah, this is the lead from Law & Order SVU. Yeah. You know what? I like that show. I don't get to watch it nearly enough. It's one of those shows that I can't keep on watching, though, because it always has to do with sex crimes. It's like, by the end of watching, like, three in a row, you're like, what's with this world? Why is there so many sex crimes going? Come on, people. Get the Vaseline out. Don't fucking stop with the fucking sex crimes. All right. Next is Hugh Laurie. It looks like $5 million. I don't know if that's per episode. I'd guess so. He's got to be my most favorite actor.
Yeah, and you know, in this picture, I'd have to say a lemur on cocaine. Jeez. the guy from The Mentalist.
Simmons Baker, by the look of it. Once again, we can only read half of the word because the slideshow's covering it. I'd have to say a parrot.
A parrot?
Look at his hair. He looks like a fucking parrot.
That is very... Yes, that is spot on.
Yeah. All right, we got the douchebag from... He was on Transformers 3. He was the human bad guy. But you'll know him if you're watching Grey's Anatomy.
McDreamy, is it?
I don't
fucking know. Or McSteamy, one of them.
Worst TV doctor drama ever.
Oh, yeah. Grey's Anatomy. I'm going to have to say a show poodle.
A show poodle.
Again, look at his hair.
Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much one of the ultimate badasses.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to say, going back to Africa and the primates again, he is the majestic king silverback gorilla.
Yeah, because he got that...
And he's got that look on his face like, you know, this is my fucking pride. Get away from my woman.
He is hefty. Like, he's a larger guy.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Okay, you know the show Two and a Half Men? You know, used to be cool. The guy who plays Alan. I'd have to say a monkey of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
Or an ape.
I don't know. Monkeys and apes don't look funny enough, though.
Yeah, he just has...
That one's a hard one.
Yeah. Hey, Chris. Chris just got back.
Just got back, and I got coffee in hand.
We're doing spiritual...
Where's the sugar and cream?
Go get it yourself.
Oh. He's not our fucking maid.
He left
Unless
us.
Unless I get to wear the outfit.
So we're going over spiritual animals of the highest paid actors. What animal would you say this guy would be?
Oh, that's a guy from Two and a Half Men. What's his actual name?
We know him as Alan.
Yeah, we know him as Alan from Two and a Half Men.
That's all that matters because he'll never be in anything else. That's important.
What animal would this bugger be?
That's a hard one, eh?
I'd have to say albino or something.
No, not albino. I don't know.
Well, this one really stumped us.
I don't know. He's kind of sad looking.
A hound dog. A sad hound dog.
Yeah, like a basset hound.
Or a blue tick, yeah.
All right.
Like, yeah, his ears don't droop, but they will eventually.
Okay, who the fuck is this guy from
NCIS. That is a good show, Derek. You should actually watch it.
Thank you,
Never
Chris.
Never really gotten into NCIS.
There's so much better shows like House and Criminal Minds and Big Bang Theory, How I Met Your Mother. But I think the only thing that's great from How I Met Your Mother is... Neil Patrick Harris. He's the best part. There could be a show just about him. But what animal would you say this guy is?
I see him as, what is the name of that thing? Is that like a spider monkey?
Spider monkey. What's his name anyway? Mark?
Why a spider monkey?
I don't know. Just with his white hair and the look on his face, he just strikes me. Reminds me of a spider monkey.
Right. It looks
that guy is badass, though, if you watch that show.
Looks like his I don't name really is watch Mark it. Harmon, by the looks of it. Next is Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. What?
One of those, you know, those poodles with the long nose and the puffy.
I already said one.
You already used that one?
Yeah, remember McDreamy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just, because his nose is so long. But what else can we do with a long nose?
Anteater.
Yeah.
There we go.
You know, we got
high
like
five.
We got like a telepathy going on.
Well, you don't get a high five. You weren't in on that.
I gave myself a high five.
Okay.
Ray Romano. Oh. Fuck this guy. I hated that show.
Oh.
Everybody loves Ray. He's on my list of people to punch.
He wouldn't be Ice Age, the mammoth. He would be the sloth.
I already used sloth.
He's just so slow to talk about everything. Someone's in the bathroom.
Hey, guys. Alright, moving on.
I love my family, but I hate my life.
When you say TV actors, this year, Charlie Sheen.
Oh, shit, I already used Tiger.
I'd have to say, like, a homeless drunk man.
Are they?
That's his totem animal, a homeless drunk man.
I guess. No, I'd have to say, just because he's so awesome, a Velociraptor with tiger blood and an F-16.
I can go with that.
Actually, yeah, Velociraptor? Sure.
I would smack this guy around if I ever fucking met him. Like,
Velociraptor doesn't actually have the same stature that, you know, Charlie Sheen does. Velociraptors are actually very small.
Okay, a Utah raptor.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Velociraptors from in the movie Jurassic Park.
Bullshit.
Were actually about this little larger than a chicken. They only discovered the raptor they used in the movie after the movie was made, and that's actually, what I understand from it, it was the Utah raptor. I could be wrong.
No, but you're right. That sounds right. You're right. It's the Utah raptor. It's about 6 feet.
Yeah. This guy at work told me I was wrong yesterday when we were talking about it, so.
Is this the guy who says he knows how to make a nuclear bomb?
Was this the same guy that commented on our Facebook page that he hates us all?
I haven't seen it, and he was joking.
We hate you.
He was joking. And actually, if it's cool with you guys, I'm going to bring him on.
Sure.
For a guest.
That works for me.
A couple weeks from now, we make fun of him. I'm shouting out to you, Matt.
Wait, I'm looking at the screenshot here. The picture menu, is that Samuel L. Jackson?
That's Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, I couldn't see. There we go.
Majestic silverback gorilla.
He would be a silverback.
And it's perfect because he has this salt and pepper thing going on in his beard in this picture. Like, he's getting older, so he's getting gray hair. Just adds to the silverback, to the gorilla.
And he's got this look on his face that, you know, it's like, you step on my turf, I'm going to rip you in half.
Yeah, that guy, I would not want to fucking get in a fight with him. He looks like he's been in a few of his day.
Could you imagine him as Nick Fury?
Yeah. Samuel Jackson has a higher pitched voice. Lawrence Fishburne, some deeper voice.
Could you imagine a crossbreed between Lawrence Fishburne, Samuel L. Jackson, and Eddie Murphy?
Fuck Eddie Murphy.
Like, yeah, what the fuck? Like, you just threw him in there just because you wanted a third one?
Well, no, for a reason. Delirious Eddie Murphy.
I'd rather see.
Do you remember? You don't remember his stand-up show, Delirious?
I never watched it. No.
Oh man!
I'd rather
absolutely hilarious.
I'd rather take Lawrence Fishburne, Samuel Jackson, and Morgan Freeman. Moving onward.
We'll do a clip show.
Matt from work had this bit. You wanted us me to say it. Naziness Prime.
Naziness Prime.
For the Hitler Zord.
It's a little too obvious, isn't it?
I know.
I mean, it works. It definitely works. Well, why didn't he suggest that on our Facebook page, where we directed people to do that?
I don't know. But we gotta move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Precious minutes are passing.
What are we doing?
News!
News of the world. We love the news. Okay. So, the Russian Mars crew has just landed.
And not really landed. They were doing a 520-day?
Yes.
520-day isolation experiment. Where they basically locked them in a confined space to simulate the cramped quarters that they would experience on a trip to Mars.
To and from, theoretically, take 520 days.
Yeah. So, finally been let out. And apparently it was, they came out with smiles on their faces. Obviously, they're just, you know, glad to see daylight. But, you know, they had some interesting things to say about, you know, what it was really like.
Like, I'm just amazed no one killed each other.
Okay, if I were to go to Mars and, let's say, 2 years in a cramped spacecraft, you'd have to have somebody in there that you can fuck, have sex with.
Where are you going to? No, I don't think so.
No.
It'd be distracting.
You're talking about 2 years without coming to fruition?
No, can do it. You just got to find.
They just got to take lots of Vaseline.
You just got to find a place to put all the space Kleenex. Okay.
I'm serious. Going to the moon, what is that? Like, it's like a 2-3-4 week thing? How long are you in space for?
That's not in the weeks. That's in the days.
Yeah. So I understand you do not have to get your rocks off in space over a short amount of time. But you stick around for this.
For fuck's sake. I need cream and sugar.
Okay, I need cream and sugar too.
Jared is too much of a wuss to drink black coffee. I drink my coffee like I like my women. Hot and black.
Your wife is white.
Yeah, I know. It's sad.
I view coffee as a dessert. I want to have some sugar in there.
Fine. Well, Jared's opinion really isn't that, crucial. So we'll keep going here.
I drink coffee anyway.
Are we talking about coffee or are we talking about
Mars? We're talking about Mars.
Okay. Let's talk about Mars.
There's no reason when you go to the moon to have to come. Other than zero gravity sex, which would be awesome, there's no reason that it's ever had to be done before. But 2 years in a spacecraft, going to Mars and back, all that stress, you might die. You have to have somebody with you that you can...
You know what? I actually don't think that zero gravity sex would actually be... I think it would be more frustrating and difficult than it would be awesome. You know why? Because, okay, we rely heavily on being able to, get leverage off of something, whether it's, the end of the bed or whatever. And you have to push and exert force.
Yeah.
Well, what happens in zero gravity when you exert force on an object to move yourself? You just keep going. It'd be so hard to maintain that motion unless you were you had your ankles strapped to the floor kind of thing.
Okay, they do have straps. There'd be much handles.
Actually, could you imagine the precarious positions you could get into? Just floating
in? Kama Sutra to the extreme.
Okay, and as long as you have the straps, and that's true. They have handrails to pull themselves along, so fair enough. Yeah, actually, that would be
pretty awesome. What would boobs look like in space? Huh?
You'd never experience sag and the pancake effect.
Yeah.
They would just stay perfect forever.
I know, Derek, you're a perv. Derek, why do you talk about these things? But these are interesting fucking things. These are interesting questions.
Do you think we'll ever actually get to experience this as a normal thing?
As sex in space? As an expert of everything fucked up, we have now chartered flights to space, courtesy of Virgin and Richard Branson. You can now purchase a ticket to go to a trip to space.
Yeah, but they take you into low orbit.
Zero gravity, okay? Yeah. Now, in a couple more years, once this becomes more mainstream, you've heard of the 10,000-foot club? Why not?
The Mile High Club?
Mile Club.
Yeah. Mile High.
You've heard of the Mile High Club.
Sex at 10,000 feet.
Yeah. So, what about the fucking zero gravity club? Why not?
I don't think it would work all that well.
We did just talk about
this. Yeah, you dumb bitch.
Be awkward. You have no leverage.
That's exactly what I said. That's awesome.
God damn it.
We did address that. In space, they have handrails and stuff to pull themselves along.
Velcro straps.
So you are able to secure your feet to something or your hands to a rail. And other than that, You're able to, have her float or yourself float into whatever, precarious position you can think of and then just go with it.
Yeah.
No worry about support and strength and getting tired. Could you imagine how long you could go if you never get physically tired from it?
Yeah.
Inertia is still the same in zero gravity.
Well, I know, but you're not fighting, having, you could...
Boobs in space, Jarrett.
Boobs in space.
Space boobs.
The motion picture. Boobs in space.
And now I am converted. Yes.
See, he converted me very quick.
Sorry, that was my knee.
I thought a door slammed. I was like, is there somebody here?
I got too excited.
Yeah. Let's go to space right now. Get the Vaseline.
Derek's horny.
Yeah.
I'm going home. Okay, back to the Mars crew, though. There was one comment from one of the guys that I want to read here. So, one guy, a Frenchman, Romain Charles... I'm not going to try and say it in French. He says, I really felt a physical distance between our crew and the people in mission control. My reason knows that they're just 20 meters away from us, but my mind can't accept it. It's interesting what isolation will do to you.
Yeah.
All of your reasoning and understanding of how things are and the way it gets totally lost.
Yeah.
And so, you have people that are literally just in another room and they're watching you, but you don't see them for so long, you don't... hear their actual voice in person. It just, your mind can distance you crazy.
It doesn't say how many people were in there, does it?
No, I don't think so.
Six male volunteers, so you know there was no good loving in there.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of like extensive counseling and therapy sessions with how have these people handled this.
Yeah, how they would reintegrate.
Yeah.
That would be pretty difficult because I imagine being alone that long, you kind of lose social skills and whatnot.
Well, you'd probably get really good at conversations with the people that you're... No, well, with the people that you're in there with, you know, the other five guys. Because, I mean, conversation is a skill, just like anything else you do.
Yeah.
You can learn how to have conversations. And the more you hang out with people, the better friends you get, the better conversations you get. It's not just chance. And it's a skill that you learn.
And
do you think you could do that? Do you think you could last 17 months in a space shuttle?
With five other
dudes.
No, it's not for me. I wouldn't be able to do that, ever.
If I had my Xbox and a library games...
I'd probably... That's the thing, though. You wouldn't just be... You would be in there and you are doing things every day. You have to act as if you're actually
working on
a mission.
Yeah.
So you're... By the time you actually do the mission in real life, you're pretty much repeating a lot of the stuff that you've already done. Yeah. So it's not that you're just sitting there, you know, what do I do? You know, you're not just alone with your thoughts.
Yeah, I guess.
You actually have to do stuff, so it's...
Yeah, it's a little better than, let's say, being put in...
like solitary
confinement. Solitary confinement, that's
the word. Yeah, padded walls. What do we got next?
Okay, well, let's see. I have one that I had forgotten about before, but now I'd like to talk about. I was reading an article on psychopaths in society, and it said that you will run into one every day, and 1 in 10 people is actually a psychopath. One in ten people. And that's not that they're going to go out and murder people. It's just that they are the types that lack conscience.
Really?
And all this.
Is there a test you can do to find out if you're a psychopath?
Yeah, they do have a test. And what I thought was kind of amusing about this whole story is the person who, the main researcher into psychopathic behavior and who came up with the test to test for it and everything, he was doing a test on him and his family to see how susceptible they'd be to Alzheimer's and all this, and he kind of stumbled across the fact that he himself is a moderate psychopath.
Neat.
And it's just those people, you know, that you run into, and they're just absolute dicks. They have no care, and they might be a little bit sadistic.
So maybe that's why, like, teenagers always get a really bad rap for, you know, just being, you know, some of them are just absolutely horrible people, and they have no regard for anything else. Maybe it's not just, you know, they weren't raised properly, or, you know, they didn't have good examples. Maybe they just, you know, some of those people, those teens, are actual, you know, like you're saying, psychopaths.
Yeah.
And they just
partially nature. There are genes that are associated with it, but it's also nurture as well. It's a combination of stuff. And also, like, and also the other thing is you don't always realize right away, because psychopaths are... They can see emotion in other people, and they can emulate it. They don't actually feel it.
So you're telling me a psychopath doesn't have emotion?
Pretty much, no. Hmm. Not at least not empathic emotions.
Okay. Like, so they still have...
They usually don't go off the handle, though, because psychopathic behavior is also linked to, like, intelligence and stuff like that.
So a psychopath will be intelligent?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
And they're usually very charming, too, because they can pretend to be
charismatic. And
1 in 10 people.
Yeah, 1 in 10. And they function in society, but you just come to realize that they just don't care about other people's feelings.
You're a quiet talker.
You have to enunciate, you bitch.
Okay, next, as far as news goes, because that really wasn't news.
I thought it was kind of
it's science.
Yeah, I guess.
1 in 10 people? What if I told you
that's statistics, that's not news.
What if I told you 1 in 500 people was a serial killer?
Well, I only have like 300 friends on Facebook, so that's okay.
Still.
Okay, news. Which one? There's two interesting ones. Okay, yeah. Cleaning lady in Germany got a little excited and got really into her cleaning. She scrubbed part of a piece of modern art off. She did $1.1 million worth of damage, and it was a water, effects of water kind of theme. Painted on the floor was what was supposed to look like a dried rain puddle. So I imagine, like, trying to paint a dried rain puddle on the floor,
Or was it modern art using water? Did they actually do a dry?
No, they painted it. Painted.
It was supposed to be like a dried mud puddle.
So this cleaning lady, she, I guess she saw this, and to her it looked like a water stain. She scrubbed the hell out of it.
Must clean.
Oh, I clean now.
Was her name Consuela?
I have no idea. But yeah, she scrubbed it right off. And I guess the people that she was working for, the cleaning company, had instructed their cleaning staff in this art gallery, stay a minimum of 20 centimeters or 8 inches away from of the art exhibits. And I guess since the main part of the art was suspended in the air, and some sort of trough, and then this painted puddle stain was underneath it on the floor. Okay. So, I mean, I'm sure she didn't think that this stain was part of the art.
Yeah.
So then she just cleaned underneath the art.
$1 million worth of damage.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So basically, though, she could basically, like, spill something there. It would dry up, and it would, you know, no one would.
You know, after I realized what I had done, I would just go grab some coffee and pour it underneath and let it dry up, and hopefully it looks the same.
Yeah.
Or mud. Just pour a puddle of mud and then get some.
Yeah, but mud dries into dirt, and then just looks like there's dirt underneath.
It yeah, but
like
they'll never know.
Yeah, anyway, that one was more just kind of interesting, but and funny.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one that's just kind of blows your mind, a Justin Bieber sex scandal. Some chick is claiming that Justin Bieber is her baby daddy.
Oh, God. How old is he anyway?
He's 17, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Or whatever. It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Do we really need a Bieber Jr.?
No.
No.
Yeah.
But he said he's going to do a DNA test, right?
Yeah. Which, I don't know, what do you think about that? Like, if he's agreeing to a DNA test, do you see that and say, oh, so he's kind of admitting that he did sleep with her? Or do you see that as, you know, screw it, I have nothing to lose. Of course I'll do a DNA test. I mean, it could go either way. How do you want to look at it?
Does it really matter?
I don't know.
It's
celebrity news. It doesn't matter to start with, so let's pretend it matters.
What self-respecting individual would sleep with Justin Bieber?
You know, sure
have you ever seen what Justin Bieber fans look like? They are not self-respecting individuals.
But it's just, why, people? I don't understand why there's a market for shitty music. Why don't we all listen to metal?
Because there's a special place in this world for things like country and folk. You know, little place in my heart reserved for that.
Oh, fuck. Folk?
What's wrong with folk? I mean, okay.
Are you the same Chris Hildebrandt that went to St. Powerball with me?
Okay.
It was only 6 years ago.
I
March 2005.
I enjoy a lot of different music.
I know.
My fallback music that I regularly listen to all the time is usually the local country station. But that doesn't mean I don't listen to rock. I do listen to a bit of metal. I enjoy folk. I enjoy country. There is some rap that I do like. None of this gangster rap bullshit crap. I like it, like intelligent rap, like Chaos.
Never heard.
Okay.
Puts a crab in the bucket.
Okay, not that one. like my favorite song by Chaos, the one that I really like, and the only really the only one that I can actually name is Heaven Only Knows. That one is awesome. I love that.
But anyway.
There's nothing wrong.
Everybody can like everybody can like whatever music they want. But I don't understand why people like Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
But not a huge fan of the pop scene.
Pop is just so
disgusting. It's plastic music.
Yeah, plastic and horror music.
Yeah.
Like
Kesha?
Like,
oh, someone just shoot her. She's like a dog limping around with scabies and like just put it down.
Tick tock.
Wake up in the morning.
We've had enough singing.
When I lived in Winnipeg about 2 years back now, we listened to radio all day there. And the Sous Chef liked to listen to Curve 104 or some shit like that. I don't know if the station's still around, but I kid you not, 8 hour day, they fucking played TikTok by Kesha 4 times. That's one every 2 hours.
Okay, that's nothing here. Do you remember at one point Derek and I worked at the same restaurant, and it was right at the time when Rihanna got really big.
Yeah.
And they played Umbrella.
Oh, God, I hate that song. I
swear, like 10 times a day, you heard it over and over and over and over again for months. And it just, it drove you insane.
Yeah. I know.
And you it was, the music that they played, it was...
Satellite radio?
No, it wasn't satellite radio. It was CD tracks. Like, it was a corporate restaurant. They have stipulations on what kind of, how much, it's a Canadian restaurant. There had to be a certain percentage of Canadian content.
At a restaurant. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're really specific with that. Just so they're Canadian, they want to support Canadian artists and, you know. So, it was the same...
Kesha's Canadian?
Series of tracks. No. we were talking about Rihanna. Like, the umbrella.
Rihanna, that's what I meant.
She's Canadian? She's not Canadian, but it was only a certain percentage. So it was all tracks. It wasn't radio, so you could time. You knew that after being at work for about half an hour, that song was going to come on.
Yeah.
Always.
I'd love to work at a rock station doing this, talking and shit. Love it.
That'd be great.
It's one of my top things to do. Yeah, so, you know, if you like our podcast, show it to your friends so I can do this and only this all day long for a job, because I would love that.
Well, I'd love to even just have, like, if there was interest built up, to be able to do...
One a day?
One a day, like a actual radio show.
Yeah.
And talk, I mean, obviously it'd have to be clean.
No one.
On public radio?
Oh, no, I'm talking about internet radio.
Oh, okay, I don't know what I'm saying, like, have a show on public radio well. And have topic-specific shows.
Yeah.
I mean, you only have to fill half an hour to an hour of content.
Yeah.
Right. So next, where we're going to talk about this conspiracy theory. I found it kind of interesting.
The
business plot. It's an old theory. It apparently was true. It's nothing current, but I found it interesting because it implicates the Bush family, and anything that does that is good in my books. It's called the business plot. And so basically, back in the 30s, a bunch of CEOs of companies like
GM,
Goodyear,
DuPont,
some oil company.
Which one was that?
Anyway, and they all got together with Prescott Bush, that's George W. Bush's grandfather, and they hatched this plan to overthrow the government of the United States and install a fascist dictatorship.
Yeah, they tried to hire a guy out of the military to stage a coup, overthrow the government. If you're going to put, you know, this amount of effort into something like this, or maybe they didn't put the effort in, that's a problem, you'd think they'd really look into who they're recruiting to help them.
Yeah.
Because the guy that... that they recruited to do the whole military side of this was a major loyalist and a big JFK? No,
this is 1933, man.
I don't know U.S. history. Come on.
I don't even know who was in the office at that time.
It's gone. I guess I could. It's right in front of me.
Yeah, it's right there.
Well, I knew Roosevelt was the vice president afterward.
Oh, FDR. Yeah, Roosevelt. Yeah, he was a huge Roosevelt supporter.
Oh, okay.
So the fact that they recruited him was just kind of retarded.
Ridiculous, yes.
So, but basically they wanted to, the heads of these companies wanted to hire some Marines to stage a coup. What's a coup?
An overthrowing of the government.
Of the government. So that America would be a fascist dictatorship country.
Yeah. Well, most of these companies, or I guess you'd say the people themselves too, had financial ties to Nazi Germany.
But that's funny because, from my understanding, GM was one of the companies that made a lot of equipment for troops in World War II.
Yeah, they were. But, at that time, there was no war going.
Yeah. But
well, at least the U.S. wasn't involved in the war up to that point.
You have to understand.
So 33, the war hadn't started.
No, it hadn't started. No, 33.
Oh. War started in 39, man.
Oh, okay, neat.
The world was aware of Nazi Germany and that they were fascists and they were not good people. But you know what? A lot, and the U.S. in general still had a lot of ties with. You know, they weren't outright against Germany or anything like that.
No, wait a second. I'm right. The article that we're going off of here is saying that the business plot also maintained financial ties with Nazi Germany up through America's entrance into World War II. So it was even during the war that they were still doing business with the Nazis.
Yeah.
Okay, but you have to understand that even Germans didn't know about what the Nazi Germany was doing.
The extent of it, yeah.
No, what? Not the extent, but they knew a general idea that they were
doing. Yeah, they knew that Jews were being persecuted. But they didn't know about the death camps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I just recently watched a documentary, and it's so fucked up. Like, it's hard to even, like, to get in the mindset of, like, how this shit actually happened. As an individual, I know there's pressures that you can be put on that, all right, this is what we're doing, you're a soldier, do it. But don't you reach a point where it says, no, I'm not going to put Jews in a box cart, ship them to a death camp.
I'm sure there were plenty of soldiers that did that, but then, you know what, they joined them.
Not necessarily.
Or they got shot on the spot.
Absolutely. If you wouldn't conform to do your job as a soldier, you were a traitor.
Shot on the spot. That's why in every army, including America's and the Allied armies, officers carried handguns.
Back to the subject, are we done with the conspiracy theory?
Yeah, it just made me happy because of Prescott Bush being involved. And it kind of makes you angry because he fathered a president and grandfathered a president.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't he put to death after trying to stage a coup?
Yeah, treason.
That would have made the world so much better.
It's so wrong that there's a legacy of presidents like Bush Senior.
Yeah, presidency shouldn't run
it's
in the
not,
family.
It's not a dynasty. They shouldn't be,
And yet, it does happen in the States because there is.
That's where the money is.
Yeah, rich.
I don't think it's a natural occurrence that three successive generations in one family will get into office, you know, running a country.
I think it was.
There's no way.
Set up that
money's
way.
Money, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but
well,
like,
that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Is it's not.
It wasn't three. He never made it to president. Prescott Bush.
Oh, okay, no, but he was.
He was in politics.
Yeah.
Any closing comments on the conspiracy theories, Mulder?
No. I got nothing else to say, Scully.
Fuck you. Yeah. You know,
hey, Scully's hot.
Yeah, she is.
Okay. November.
Yeah, so on the last podcast, for those of you guys that listened, we told you all that we're starting, we're joining the fundraising campaign Movember. All three of us are presently rocking a mustache.
You can't see it, but I'm twirling mine at the moment.
Yeah.
Get your mustache on.
Yeah, so what I kind of wanted to do is I wanted to help you guys along. If you guys want to join, you can look up our team on the Movember site. There is a link on our blog site that'll lead you right to it. And you can then go set up an account and request to join our team. And we'd be more the merrier. So, if you guys are interested in that, then want to help you along, get you a little bit of inspiration, go over some of the different mustache styles. Okay, so a little bit of history on the mustache. Shaving with stone razors was technologically possible from the Neolithic times, but the oldest portrait showing a shaved man with a mustache was an ancient Iranian horseman from 300 BC. So mustaches definitely go back a long way. In Western cultures, women generally avoid the growth of facial hair, though some are capable. The majority of these women use some form of depilation to remove it. In rare circumstances, women may choose to embrace this growth, which I don't condone, often in the form of thin mustaches, or moustaches, however you... it's kind of suave. I think I might start calling it a moustache.
Sounds too French.
Okay, mustache. So, yeah, we really don't advise, you know, women to embrace this mustache thing. There's a female Mexican artist that's really famous for her self-portraits. I don't remember her name, but she definitely embraced the mustache. It was disturbing.
Yeah.
We want to go over some mustache styles. I think it's, you know, just a little bit of inspiration, see what's all out there. There's a surprisingly large variety of different types of mustache. So, the World Beard and Mustache Championships had 6 subcategories for mustache, and then there's some others to add on. Natural. A mustache may be styled without aids. These are kind of competition rules. But the Mexican is big and bushy, beginning from the middle of the upper lip and pulled out to the side. And the hairs are allowed to start growing up to a maximum of 1.5 centimeters beyond the end of the upper lip. That's how you get those really, really massive-looking mustaches. You have a bit of cheater space on the side of your lip. There is the dolly. It's narrow, long points bent or curved steeply upward. And that one was named for Salvador Dali. Let's see.
He's one of my favorite artists.
Oh, yeah? The English mustache is narrow, beginning at the middle of the upper lip. The whiskers are very long and pulled out to the side, slightly curled, and the ends are pointed slightly upward. The imperial.
To keep them out of the teacups.
Yep. Did you know that there was actually a mustache spoon?
What?
Yeah, I came across this looking up stuff.
I did know there were mustache teacups with like a little mustache cutout on it.
Okay, the mustache spoon, it's a soup spoon, and it has an extra piece over top to keep your whiskers out of the soup that's in your spoon.
Nice.
It was really kind of weird. I had never heard of that, but awesome. Let's see, freestyle. This one is, if you go onto the World Beard and Mustache Championships site, you can see all sorts of pictures. And the freestyle ones are probably the most fun to look at. These things, I can't even describe
people
it.
Do whatever they want with them, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. There's some other types of mustaches that most people are probably aware of. The Fu Manchu, long downward pointing ends, generally beyond the chin. The Pancho Villa mustache. That is similar to the Fu Manchu, but thicker. Also known as a droopy mustache. Awesome. Handlebar. This is one that I actually wanted to clarify.
Yes, I remember you saying that.
The handlebar is often confused with the mustache that I'm currently wearing, which is actually a horseshoe mustache. It looks like a horseshoe stuck on your face. It's also called a biker stash. I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. People are always calling that one a handlebar mustache. That's not actually the case. A true handlebar is bushy with small upward pointing ends. So the typical, you know, Italian guy, that's a handlebar. So if you hear someone refer to a handlebar improperly, make sure you correct them. Let's get the facts straight. Mustaches are serious business. Let's see, the pencil mustache, narrow, straight, and thin as if drawn by a pencil, closely clipped, outlining the upper lip with a wide shaven gap between the nose and the mustache. Largely recognized as the mustache of choice for fictional character Gomez Adams in the Adams Family. Let's see, Sean Penn also rocks that one. There's the chevron, which is probably the most common mustache today. It's a very basic plain mustache. It's thick and wide. Tom Selleck, that would be a chevron. Also known as a push broom. Jeff Foxworthy, NASCAR driver Richard Petty wears that. The toothbrush, or the Hitler stash.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin wore it. Oliver Hardy wore it. And actually, Michael Jordan wore it in a Hanes commercial. And then there was the last one on my list is the walrus, which is bushy, hanging down over the lips, and quite often covering the entire mouth like you can.
Jamie Hyneman.
Yeah, Jamie Hyneman, that's a walrus. Okay. So there's lots of mustaches to choose from. Suits everyone's personal taste and style. I'm starting out with a horseshoe mustache or the biker stash. And once I get a bit more length, or I can style it. Then I'm going to be switching over to the handlebar and rocking that out. So, yeah.
What would you say mine is right now, unstyled?
Right now, yours would be the Poncho Villa, I think. Yeah, because yours is starting to do a bit of a Fu Manchu thing because it comes past the edge of your, or the corners of your mouth and hangs down. But it's not long like a Fu Manchu, so yeah. That would...
And I'm going to style it up into the handlebar, I think.
Yeah, I told Jared I'd give him some mustache wax.
Yeah.
The brand I use, I actually found it on eBay. It's really good stuff. It's called Handlebars Mustache Wax. It was really cheap. Comes in a little tin. There's maybe not even half an ounce.
All right. Anything else on the agenda before we close it off?
Hypothetical question.
Oh, yeah.
What superpower would you have if you had the choice? One power.
Extreme mustache growing ability. Hey, hold on.
Magical mustache? Whoosh, it would grow out and capture people.
It'd be
people.
Like a Green Lantern ring.
Yeah.
okay, with mustaches. I like mustaches. I think they're cool. I don't understand this huge, like the social
stigma.
Opposition to a mustache. There's a couple mustaches that are acceptable, but only with certain people, it seems, like your dad. You know, if you're a 40-year-old guy, you know, you can wear a mustache and that's fine because that's just when the time you grew up in. But for someone, for like us, why is it, I mean, the horseshoe mustache is pretty accepted. I don't know, maybe if, I don't know if that's just because it's so close to almost being a goatee. But just a mustache in general, why do we have to fight and argue to be able to grow a mustache? Like, why do we have to have a fundraiser for a month to justify having a mustache?
Well, in our personal lives, just personally for me, my girlfriend insists on facial hair, so.
But not just a mustache.
Well, no.
See, my wife doesn't like mustaches either. Her dad has a mustache. Always has. So you'd think
maybe
she would
why.
Be accustomed to it.
They make you look older and more distinct. My theory is that mustaches mean you demand authority and respect.
Yeah. So, and that frightens people.
Especially women, because they like to hold the power.
Do you think maybe it's more of a personal, like, the way you carry yourself when you're wearing a mustache? I mean, if you walk into a room and you've decided that you're going to wear a mustache and you kind of cower in and, you know, try and hopefully no one notices you and you're not, like, standing behind your mustache, you know, do you look like, why is that guy wearing a mustache? Like, come on. But if you come into a room like, you know, Tom Selleck would saunter into a room and he's got that massive mustache and, you know, that's just him.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Maybe it's the way you carry yourself. Maybe you need to embrace the mustache and how it, you know, enhances your life and makes you a better man.
Mustaches aren't just a fashion statement. It's a mindset.
It is. I would agree with that.
You demand respect.
You know, this just all reminds me of the episode of Family Guy.
I don't remember that one offhand.
Where Peter grows a mustache and all of a sudden he's
helping
the fireman.
That's
right.
Cheers. Yeah. To mustaches.
Well, last year, cheers.
Cheers.
Last year, Movember's catchphrase or their slogan was "Every man deserves a bit of luxury," and that is so like that's exactly.
Girls do their hair, guys can do their mustache.
Yeah, why not?
It's the one thing we have.
I mean, mustache. It's. I want to bring it back in general. I would love to see.
Well,
you know, people be able to wear a mustache,
like I said,
and
there
not
was
be
that,
you know, snickered at and like have it taken seriously. Like
one episode of Family Guy, and in that episode, he grows a mustache because he comes across this magazine in Cleveland's mail.
Yeah,
and it's Mustache Today. I think you should start the real life
Mustache Today.
That's almost worth looking into. In all seriousness, so it does. It's interesting. This social rejection of
fashion
the mustache.
Fashion trends, they change, Chris.
Yeah.
And this is 2011. It's not 1975.
Okay, but mustaches are coming back.
But if it's just a fashion thing, you know, with...
things
you
fade
know,
out and things come back.
Shoes. High tops have come in like an 80s. High tops are back in and they're just accepted.
I'm just
because,
waiting.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm waiting for
the... And the neon colors for whatever else, like, looks like, you know, someone ate a box of crayons and threw up on a shirt. And, ooh, that's cool. It's 80s. But the mustache, it had, you know, it was pretty prevalent in the 80s.
70s
yet,
more.
And 70s, but it just, it hasn't come back. Why is the
it's
mustache
on,
not
it's on the way back
fashion,
now.
I think
but
November
if it's just fashion, and all the other fashion stuff that's outdated has been so readily accepted and embraced, why has the mustache not been embraced like
it
that?
Is coming back. That's the whole point, that we have
so
mustache March and Movember. And
you could say it's the same thing about long hair and guys with ponytails. That is not in style right now. It was in style 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Probably another 20 years, it'll be back in style.
It's I'm just waiting for the hammer pants to come back.
God. All right. But we really have to conclude this show.
Yeah, it's really long.
So, what kind of superpowers would you have? Hit it. Go.
Why do you always, look at me first?
All right, Jarrett.
Oh, putting me on the spot now.
Okay, no,
I would have to say, I don't know if it would be considered one power or two.
Throw it out there.
Well, flying, but with, like Superman, the ability to go into outer space and into different environments like that.
Oh, okay,
without being hurt or without having to breathe.
Oh, okay.
So that's flying with a bit of invulnerability. So you could just say controlling your own
being
personal
able to hold your breath for a really long time.
No, no. Controlling your own atmosphere.
Sure.
Because you can levitate, there go fly, and you're controlling
and also fly very fast. I want to be able to explore the galaxy.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
okay.
That's cool. And then there's a level of invulnerability if you can control the space around you.
Yeah.
So you?
You know, with controlling the space around you, like you could almost going back to what we were talking about with like hovercrafts and stuff, that's kind of exactly what I was talking about, is controlling the atmosphere underneath your craft to keep it afloat.
Yeah, yeah.
By making it really dense.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you could stop a bullet by, you know,
condensing
the
air.
You know, making yourself basically a force field with incredibly condensed atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of added on to... I like that.
That would be really awesome.
Boy, what do you want to...
Wow, that one... That's not what I was initially going to say, but that one sounds really good.
No, that's mine. Leave
I know,
alone.
I know. One that I've always kind of gravitated towards was super speed.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know why. The idea that you could go around the world so fast with really nobody even noticing that you're gone. I don't know. I think if I had super speed, I'd also want to have super strength to go along with it. Because, I mean, if you're super fast but you're a pussy, you're still not going to, you know.
But if you're going that fast and you hit somebody.
Your momentum would strike someone, but you are still, it's also like something striking you.
No.
So if you're not super strong, you know, would you maybe get damaged by overdoing it?
I think, like, the Flash and all the other speedsters, it's kind of like that. You kind of control your own area, so you can run super fast and hit someone, and the laws of physics say that if you can run that fast, well, literally your flesh would rip off of your bones.
Oh, kind
of
like a...
Or the friction from your feet would light you on fire. But you kind of can... Like, it's obviously...
What's that
not
one contraption with the balls, the stainless steel balls that Newton's... No, it's
a... No, well, it's a perpetual motion machine.
No, it's not. It's
no,
not
it
actually a perpetual motion machine. It's just an energy transfer thing, but it... What is that thing called?
I don't know. Why? What's your point?
Newton's law. Like the law that things at rest will remain at rest. Things
reference it to this thing. Okay, it's where you got the like six stainless steel ball bearings suspended by
pendulum.
By strings, like pendulums, and they're touching each other. You pull the one ball bearing up, and it swings down, and it transfers, I think it's 95% of its energy to, you know,
the end
to
one.
The end one.
And they
so
keep going back.
If it worked like that, you know, you could, you know, if you were taking all that speed and momentum,
mm-hmm.
and you, maybe then you are just doing that, you're transferring, you know, almost all of the energy into the other person.
Yeah.
So then you wouldn't be hurt.
Hypothetically, the Flash, he runs around the planet and punches somebody. Not only will he probably punch a hole through that person, but he'll mangle his arm.
Yeah.
So it has to be, like, there's special exceptions and a little bit of invulnerability if I had
I guess the idea is that if you had this power occur naturally, you would naturally have the enhanced other features to be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
And as far as control, like working with your vulnerability, this, you know, roll a d12.
For myself, obviously, super strength and invulnerability. But that's just so plain. Like, you can't have super strength without invulnerability, because if you're strong enough to lift up a car, but you're not invulnerable, yeah, you may be able to lift it up, but the car's just going to crush you, right?
Mm.
Yeah. But I think it'd be awesome to be Green Lantern, too.
You know what? Yeah, that would be...
Really having a superpower?
Yes,
and it's,
no.
It's something else. An external
power source, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That'd be awesome if we all had power rings.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Our powers combined.
Captain Planet!
I don't know. I'd just like to throw it out there again. We'd love to see a bit of feedback from our listeners on our social media stuff. Ask us some questions. Send us an email. You know, we'd love to talk about whatever you have to say on the show. Just be prepared that if we think it's stupid, we're probably going to make fun of you. But, if it's stupid, we won't say your name. No, it'd be nice to get some feedback from people that are listening to us, see what you think, suggest some topics, hypothetical questions, would you rathers, stuff like that. Let us know what you'd want to hear about.
Yeah, if you want to hear less of something or more of something else, or you have a new thing you want us to try out, like, you know, a new subject that we can make fun of, or...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's when it comes down to it, it's as much as the podcast is about us talking, it's not about us. It's about, you know, entertaining.
Yeah, it's more about
you, the listener. So let us know what you think, make suggestions, and we'll definitely get on that.
And so that's us signing off.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Making that up, aren't you? I really don't have anything to say about it. I don't give a flying fuck.
You know what? I think that was just God bunting jumping.
Doesn't really have to be believable.
Fuck it.
Are you talking about that Honda robot that they built? Because that thing's kind of cute. Fuck it.
Okay.